children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening, and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, Saving Kids. Saving kids of all ages, all stages, whether elementary age, high school, married children, all ages. Whether it's for yourself, we are a helpline. We offer referrals for support groups, for therapists, for clinics, for rehabs, any mental health issue, all addictions. Feel free to call the Mask confidential number from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Our number is 718-758-0400. Again, maybe you want to write it down. Maybe it's for yourself, a neighbor, someone you sit next to in shul. Our number again is 718-758-0400. We also offer naloxone trainings. If you know somebody that would benefit from opiate overdose prevention kit, which is a naloxone called Narcan Naloxone, and you want a free kit and to be trained to receive a free kit, even in your own home, feel free to call Mask, and we will arrange for that to be done. Tonight I have with us one of my colleagues for many, many years. We've been working side by side, both with Interborough Developmental Consultants, a consultation center in Brooklyn, and as a Nefesh colleague of mine, I'd like to welcome tonight a psychiatrist, Pamela Siller, MD. Good evening. Thank you for being on with us.
Thank you so much. Well, first of all, I would like to thank you, as well as the rest of your network at Mask. I think you do a phenomenal job, and I think you provide a very, very needed service for the community.
Thank you. And it's always wonderful working with you, Dr. Siller. Can I call you Pam?
Of
that's
course.
That's what I'm used to.
That's fine.
Great. So Pam and I, Dr. Siller and I, we are still, I'm on a high from the Nefesh conference. Both of us are Nefesh board members. Nefesh, which is over 800 from therapists that are trained through Nefesh once a year at a four-day conference deep in Long Island in a hotel. We tuck them away 4 days, no outside world, and the best from the best present the most professional therapists, the most professional speakers in the mental health field present all day, all evening, to over 500 clinicians that attended this year. How did you enjoy it, Pam?
Oh, I enjoyed it greatly. You know, first of all, it gives me a chance to reconnect and network with my colleagues, who I really sometimes only see once a year. But also I come away with having learned, you know, a lot of gems and clinical information that I could definitely utilize in my day-to-day practice.
So that was 2 weeks ago, and Nefesh does trainings all through the year in different areas, whether it's psychiatrists, whether it's in-school therapists, whether it's regular clinicians, social workers, LCSW, LMSW, CSW, MFT, a whole slew of different degrees and modalities that are used. These are programs that are offered all through the year for the professionals. So anyone interested in hooking up with Nefesh, feel free to call MASC as well, and we will get you signed in. They also have a listserv where therapists can speak with each other and request and inform on different issues all through the year. So let's get right to it. Dr. Siller is a board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist, and she provides medication management as well as individual and family therapy to children, adolescents, and adults. She is in private practice in Great Neck, but she is well-known in Brooklyn through Interboro Developmental and Consultation Center, which Interboro has sites in Williamsburg, Canarsie, Flatbush, and Crown Heights. So let's get right to it. When does somebody need to call a psychiatrist?
Well, I think the first thing is that you have to realize for both yourself or your family that there's a problem. And it doesn't have to be a tremendous problem that the person needs hospitalization or they're in crisis. It could just be something that is worrisome to you, that somebody you know or somebody around you is acting differently, that there's a change in behavior, and or they get angry or irritable without a trigger, or you notice a difference in their eating pattern, a difference in their sleeping pattern. If it's somebody you know or yourself, that obviously you would know very well, you would know that there's something to be concerned about. And that's when the time is to outreach, whether or not it's a psychiatrist, whether it's calling MASC, whether it's calling Interboro, whether it's calling anybody that you know and saying, help, I need a referral. I need somebody to help myself, my family member, my friend, my acquaintance. And that's the time to reach out for help, not when the person is so in crisis, although obviously that's an option too. But if you want to nip it in the bud, that's when you would want to reach out. When there is an issue, when you notice there's an issue or a red flag that's not right, that would be the first time that you would want to reach out.
So, there, you know, on my helpline, I mean, we're doing this 21 years. We just hit our 50,000th family that has gone to programs, case managed over the years. And, you know, one part we say, Nebuch, wow, so sad, 50,000 families struggling. But the other side we say, like, wow, the courage of these families to attend our programs, to attend groups, to call for referrals, to get their family, loved ones, the help they may need, or for themselves, takes courage. But imagine, over 50,000 people already have reached out just to us at MASC, and I have, my staff is amazing. Nothing is just done by Ruchama. I have an amazing staff, well-trained in mental health areas, gets ongoing trainings on a weekly basis. So if you have an issue, call the MASC helpline. Now, in reference to psychiatrists, there are parents that call the hotline, and they say, I must have a psychologist. Or can you give me a psychiatrist's name? So just for my listeners, I first want them to understand the difference between going to a psychiatrist and a psychologist. And also, if you can include, when does a psychiatrist, if they do, do ongoing therapy ever?
Sure. So one thing I just wanted to add to what you had said just before was that a lot of patients who reach out, it sounds like that's a big number, and I think that's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful that patients have reached out, that people get better. You know, just because you reach out, it doesn't mean you're always going to see a psychiatrist, you're always going to be in therapy. People do get better, even better than they had been at first. So I also just wanted to mention that. As far as your question as to when do you reach out, psychiatrist, therapist, it really depends on what you're looking for. All psychiatrists have gone through medical school. So that, I guess, is the number one difference that separates a psychiatrist versus somebody who is a therapist. And again, we use the word therapist to encompass a great range of people. A therapist could include a PhD, a PsyD, those are psychologists. It could include social workers. It could include mental health counselors. It could include a school counselor. So the word therapist is used very, very broadly. What differentiates psychiatrists, number one, is we can prescribe medications. I think that's the most well-known of what occurs, what differentiates us. That being said, one important thing a psychiatrist does is, because we did go through medical school, we could also assess what physical conditions might be causing an emotional reaction, such as thyroid, very, very common. Somebody has hypothyroid, hyperthyroid, just as an example, and that could very definitely impact on your medical, on your emotional condition and how you're reacting to things. Even such things as mono and other, you know, different ailments. So that's one thing that we're trained in. The other thing to remember is that psychiatrists also go through training in therapy. So although not all psychiatrists choose to use that, we do have a dual training in residency and, you know, fellowship if we're specializing in child adolescent addiction, etc. So we do have that added training. And, you know, for myself, even if I'm not doing a therapy session per se, I utilize my training and I integrate that into my medication management sessions. So I guess, number one, the question would be, what are you looking for? When you, you know, when you call MASC, that's something that MASC would assist you with, or even Interboro. You know, what are you looking for? You know, do you want to go to a therapist locally? Are you interested in somebody who is maybe suicidal and might need a higher level of care and needs medication? So that's one of the differences. And it could be you've gone to your pediatrician, and the pediatrician or the primary medical doctor can say, you know, I'm really worried about you, or I'm worried about this presentation of somebody that you know or love. Maybe you should reach out to a psychiatrist. Or maybe you're already in therapy, and the therapist might say, you know, I'm a little concerned about XYZ. Perhaps you could have a consultation. And, you know, that's the other thing I want to bring out. There are a lot of patients that come to me just for a consultation. I'm in therapy with so-and-so. I'm getting medications from my primary medical doctor, but I just want to make sure I'm on the right medication. Can you please steer me in the right direction? My child is having a little trouble in school. I'm a little concerned. So when you reach out to a therapist, if you reach out to a psychiatrist and or a therapist, it can be long-term, but it doesn't have to. It could maybe just be a little time that you need to steer you on the right path.
I'm glad you brought up about the MD doctors giving out medication for mental health issues. There are a lot of families that are going to their regular doctors, and I can't say to you as a psychiatrist, so how do you feel about that? But I am glad that you said that those that do choose to get their mental health medication from a doctor, which I'm not sure is a good idea or not, I want your opinion. I'm glad that the psychiatrist can evaluate the situation as a consultant, on a consultant basis, you know, like as a one-time or twice a year. I'm glad, because some parents feel that they don't want to take their child to a psychiatrist ongoing. Stigma, which we're working towards, reducing stigma. Also, it's very costly. Not all insurance companies pay for psychiatrists. So if they go to their MD, then they can get their meds monthly there. So what are your feelings about, in general, as a parent getting mental health medication from an MD?
I think it's very individual, and I think it really depends what the issue is for their child. You know, for example, the most widely prescribed medication, I believe, and there's no research right now to prove it, I didn't look it up, but I know from anecdotally and in my practice, ADHD, very commonly diagnosed, very frequently given medication by their pediatrician. Depression also. A lot of times the antidepressants are considered fairly safe, which they usually are, given a medication by their pediatrician or by their primary medical doctor. A lot depends on the doctor's experience with the medication. There are some primary medical doctors that I know were psychiatrists and switched specialties. There are some doctors that I know that were pediatricians or primary medical doctors that switched into psychiatry. So in general, there are doctors that are very well versed in psychotropic medications. That being said, that's not the rule. I have a lot of patients that start out with a primary medical doctor or pediatrician giving them a medication, and if it works, that's wonderful. The problem becomes, what if it doesn't? And that's when actually I get a lot of referrals, even from the primary medical doctors, saying, you know, I started a patient on Zoloft, it's not working so well, please assist. And then, you know, the doctors also at times will realize that they're a little bit out of their league, and they will request assistance as well. So, again, these are my colleagues. We all work together, and I'm always happy to assist and collaborate with my other colleagues. What I do sometimes do is when a patient is doing very, very well and they're just on maintenance treatment, for me myself, I find it very important to see my patients on a, let's say, monthly or every two-month basis. I'm not a big believer in giving a three-month supply with two refills and saying, see you next year. And a lot of times patients, you know, are saying, I'm doing great, you know, why can't I have refills? And that's when I'll say, listen, call your primary doctor, see if they're willing to get it, and then come back to me every 6 months, you know, if you need an adjustment or you want to go down. So again, you know, we could all work as colleagues, and the most important thing is to make sure that the patients are getting the best care they can. And there's no rigid rules we have to follow. We just have to do the best we can to help our patients.
Absolutely. So, Pam, can we now go to the part of teenager adolescent that must be evaluated by a psychiatrist, whether the doctor feels that way or the therapist that they're seeing feels that way? And not all children want to go for help to a psychiatrist. So how do you, what do you say to the parents in order to help them when a child's resistant to go, and they really need it?
Right. So, you know, the first thing I always try and do is demystify the process. A lot of kids and adults, too, have a preconceived notion about what occurs when they go to the doctor's office. So I think it's very important to have an honest, collaborative meeting with your child, or adolescent, I should say, and kind of discuss in a very non-judgmental manner, what are your concerns? You know, why don't you want to go? What are you worried about? You know, and some people might be worried about the medication. Some people might be worried about the stigma. Everybody has their own reasons. And by getting to the bottom of that, just like you would for an adult, it's important to dispel those fears and work together with the adolescent. And all the other thing to do is, I'm sorry, just one last thing, is to speak to the doctor beforehand and say, you know, Dr. Siller, you know, I'm calling you regarding my 15-year-old. She's very, very nervous about coming. What could I do? And that also gives me a heads up to know that I may have to be a little more ginger around this child or this adolescent.
Now let's go to the part of a child confiding in a parent that possibly one of their peers disclosed some concerning information, and she shares it with her parent, or him with his parent. You know, what is the confidentiality and where to draw a line in reference to safety? Possibly somebody says they're suicidal. Somebody has an eating disorder, and it's really an extreme case. They're binging. Whatever it may be, somebody dabbling in drugs, at what point or what can the parent do in order to help their child with this concerning information that was disclosed?
Well, I think the first thing to do is congratulate your child in realizing that this is information that needs to be passed on. Because I think that's tremendous that the child or the adolescent was able to disclose to the parent, first of all. So that's number one. Number two, I think it's important to realize that safety comes first. Even as a doctor, you know, who's bound by confidentiality, if there's a safety issue, that trumps confidentiality. And I think that that's the main thing you need to do as a parent, is to keep your child safe, and if you can, the child of somebody else. Because if it was reversed, you would want to know that about your child. So I think the main thing to do after discussing it with your child is to try and reach out and get help. You know, I would say the first thing to do would be to reach out to the parents of the other child. If you need to reach out to the school, you could always call MASC, you know, and you could get help. And because, again, you want to make sure that you can do everything you can to ensure the safety of those around you. That being said, I want to make sure that there's no sense of guilt. It's not your responsibility to treat the child if it's somebody else's, but you want to do everything you can to assist.
And we have with us Dr. Pam Siller, who's a board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist, who provides medication management as well as individual and family therapy to children, adolescents, and adults. Dr. Siller maintains an office in Great Neck and is the medical director of child and adolescent psychiatry at the Interborough Developmental and Consultation Center in Brooklyn. I do want to add that 21 years ago when I started MASC, the first organization that I went to talk to let them know that I'm starting MASC and see how we could be helpful and work together, was to Interborough, to Dr. Gersten, Oliver Shellam. And this week, unfortunately, I have to share that Mrs. Gersten, Fagalea Bas Helman Chaim, was Nifter. The Levaya was yesterday, and the Gerstens are sitting Shiva this week. I would like to dedicate this show to Mrs. Gersten, Fagalea Bas Helman Chaim. Her neshama should have an aliyah. And to the Gerstens, the whole Gersten family at Interborough, they do amazing work. Their clinic is always open and available. Like I said, Canarsie, Flatbush, Crown Heights, and Williamsburg. So anybody that is interested in speaking with either Dr. Siller or anybody at Interborough and you need a contact number, feel free to call 718-758-0400. And we will connect you to whomever it is that you need to be connected with in Interborough or Dr. Siller. I do want to just bring up the idea a lot. Parents do call the helpline when one of their children possibly stays in their room and for long periods of time and does not want to interact with the family. So how would you help those parents, dance to a different tune? At MASC, we say, if you change the music in the home, your kids' dance steps then could change. So what suggestions do you have or guidance for the parents when such a thing happens? Because there are those that are gaming. They're on the Internet. But then there are those that are not on the Internet, and they may be depressed, undiagnosed. They may have a mood disorder, they may have emotional distress, whatever it may be, anxiety, and they are staying hours and hours, days and days in the room, not even wanting food. Parents are bringing food to the door of the bedroom and leaving it there. So what suggestions can you share with my listeners, please?
Sure, and I do want to thank you again. You know, Interborough and myself are always willing to help others, and, you know, I think, as I said, you do wonderful, wonderful service for the community. And I'm particularly, I see patients in Crown Heights and Williamsburg. That being said, you know, the same thing that I've mentioned a couple of times on this broadcast is reach out. You know, reach out to your children. Reach out to the family members. And even if they're gaming, you know, that's still okay to reach out to them. To have the home a loving atmosphere where you're not judged and where children and everybody can feel safe in the home is the number one thing that will draw out your children. And if you are concerned, that's when you need to reach out and ask for help. Because, again, you're in a community. You don't need to do this alone. There are people out there that are willing and ready and able and happy to help.
And the parents could then also be seen by a therapist to discuss the different ideas. So if your child or adolescent or loved one doesn't want to go to therapy, we always suggest that the parent goes to the therapist and have discussions and figure out a plan in order to help your child, your loved one, and whatever concerns that you may have with them. So again, for those that may have come on a little bit late, before we say goodbye, can you discuss some of the red flags, please? Changes in behavior,
sure.
Et cetera.
Yeah. That's definitely the main one to look for, a change in behavior. If you have a child that you know is always a little bit quiet, always a little withdrawn, that's not something that you have to necessarily worry about if you know that that is their baseline, what they are. That being said, if there's a child that usually is very rowdy and excitable and happy, and all of a sudden they're withdrawn, that's the main thing that you need to worry about. If there's a change in their appetite, if they're isolating themselves, then that's also something that you really need to worry about. So again, the main thing is a change in behavior and a change in how they're acting. If they're more secretive, and the other thing, of course, is if you see cut marks or you see them crying, you know, that's when you want to say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? And reach out as needed.
You know, you mentioned cut marks. So self-mutilation, I know that there are a lot of girls in the summer, they say they don't want to go swimming, they don't want to put on a bathing suit, they cover their arms to their elbows, past their elbows, they wear long skirts to the floor. There are a lot of girls that are self-mutilating and cutting above the knees on their arms. So these are things that you really need to be aware about. There are red flags, and we need to be aware of the red flags. So anything that is not the regular norm, when somebody says they don't want to go swimming and until now you knew they love swimming, that's something one must look into. Well, I want to thank you for being on with us. I want to thank Interborough for everything they do for the CLOW, and I hope to have you on again soon.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
And I want to wish everybody a very good evening and a wonderful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Thank you and good night.
Thank you.
Hello, Catamount Secret Call Center.
Welcome to the Catamount Big Secret Ski Resort Call Center. Right now, we're averaging 20 calls an hour. It's a full-blown phenomenon.
Let me get this right. You think we're hiding a mountain? A big one. Just to keep it uncrowded.
A big mountain here in the Berkshires.
CatamountSki.com, the Berkshires' best-kept secret. Catamount is a family mountain right here in the Berkshires with a 1,000-foot vertical, 33 trails and terrain parks for all skill levels, short lift lines, extensive snowmaking, and expert grooming. See CatamountSki.com for more information.
Catamount is 2 hours north of Manhattan on the New York-Massachusetts border. 34 trails of snowmaking and 8 lifts, including a summit quad share, serve the mountain's 1,000-foot vertical drop. Midweek non-holiday specials include $38 lift tickets and $20 online lift tickets for Monday and Thursday visits. Catamount improvements include a renovated lodge and a new chairlift. Real mountain fun, real close to home. More at catamountski.com.
KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
If you need to get anywhere, then let Yossi Leifer and the professional staff at Traveler's Choice get you there. Great prices, great service. Listen to this. Pesach in Israel is only $999, tax included, via Europe. Call Yossi and Traveler's Choice for Pesach specials to anywhere you need to get to for Pesach, including Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, West Palm Beach, Phoenix, Las Vegas, Puerto Rico, Greece. You name the destination, they'll get you there. Great prices, great service. Call Yossi Leifer and Traveler's Choice to book your hotel and car rental packages. Also available, 1-866-GET-ANYWHERE. 1-866-GET-ANYWHERE. Traveler's Choice, your choice to travel. 1-866-GET-ANYWHERE or 212-868-8698.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.